Did you know that erectile dysfunction was once perceived solely as a psychological issue and considered inevitably just a part of aging? The misconception that every man would inevitably experience ED after reaching a certain age.
I'm Anna.
I'm Alexandria.
And this is The Tea in STEM.
So this introduction was still common knowledge up into the 1980s.
That's pretty recent.
I know. Like, you think about it today, and it just, I'm still shocked at how a lot of things that we find out in science were like, oh my gosh, that's new information, right? But yeah, so since the 1980s.
It might be one of those things that, even though it's a problem, not a lot of people wanted to talk about it.
Oh, sure.
Kind of like with women's health topics, where women just didn't want to talk about it because it was uncomfortable, and mm-hmm. so it got misdiagnosed or put aside for a long time.
Right? Look at miscarriages. Mm-hmm. People didn't know how common they were because people didn't talk about it. Right? Also in the 1980s, Pfizer was working on a cardiovascular medication, more specifically, selective inhibitor of phosphodiesterase type 5, which acts on the nitric oxide CGMP pathways. All you scientists will know what that is. Don't ask me. I'm not that kind of scientist. The scientists understood that this compound could alleviate angina, also known as heart pain. It could work in short-term relief by reducing the preload and afterload of the heart and possibly improving the patency of the blood supply to the ischemic myocardium.
I have a question.
Heart pain.
Heart pain. So are you talking like, because the heart itself doesn't have like pain receptors mm-hmm. from what I understand?
It's lack of blood flow to certain areas. Well, this is, the in summary of, is lack of blood flow to certain areas of the heart due to ischemia, due to, like, dead little tiny veins and little arteries, little capillaries, things of that sort.
But people or clogged. Feel pain.
It's like pressure, chest pain, tightness.
Okay.
It's true heart pain. Mm-hmm. Yes. Pain, heart pain. In summary, the blood pathways to and from the heart are widened and unobstructed, facilitating an increase of blood flow. This in turn alleviates the pain or the angina in those areas that were previously receiving insufficient blood or experienced restricted circulation, hence which would cause the pain in the first place.
Okay.
So Pfizer got the approval to put this drug into testing. The drug made it to the human trials for angina, and the summary of the reported outcomes from the patients stated that the drug had little efficacy on angina.
So the reported patient outcomes are like the diaries that a patient fills out every day that ask questions like, how have your symptoms been? How have you been feeling regarding your disease, et cetera, et cetera. And they determine that to help see if the drug really is working.
Right, so like the drug on paper looked like it was working fine, but the patients were reporting that their angina pain was still the same, that it wasn't doing much for the pain, but it looked good on paper. It was doing what it said. It was opening the pathways. It was widening all the areas so the blood could flow where it needed to flow, but patients were still saying, my heart hurts.
Yeah, and we've seen that before where the drug from a chemical level is doing everything, but when people start trying it, it doesn't alleviate those symptoms.
Yeah.
Which is why clinical trials exist, and that's the failing point of most of them.
Yep, and so then patients, after review of the trial, right, they noticed that a few patients had some adverse events of erections that last for a few days after taking the medication.
Oh, a few days?
A few
Don't
days.
Don't they tell you when you take that kind of stuff, like if it's more than 4 hours or
Go
6 hours
Go seek medical
or whatever?
Treatment.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my goodness.
So at the time of the data review, the study team didn't really think too much about a few patient reports of an extended erection. One of the scientists who was in the drug developer area stated that he was reflecting back in his time during the drug investigations, and he stated, even if we could make this angina medication into an ED medication, who wants to take it on a Wednesday so that they have an erection all the way till Saturday? I sure don't, is what he said, right? He's like, well, how are we going to market that?
And not only that, but think about how many patients don't properly report uncomfortable AEs.
Right.
Things that we find out months and months later that something's happening with their sex life.
Can you imagine?
This or that. Mm-hmm. Because they just, they're like, oh, there's no way this could be related. I'm not going to say anything. Yep. I don't want to tell my nurse. It's not hurting me.
Right.
So that could totally be underreported.
You've got a young female staff, a male in his, you know, 50s or 60s or 70s, that's more conservative, religious background. He's not going to want to explain that unless his wife is making him explain it. Mm-hmm. It's highly unlikely that we're going to hear that. And then what happened to all the female patients?
What does happen when females take it?
Girl, I don't know. But I'm curious to find out. Not that curious. Not that curious, but I'm curious enough to read the reports of the research to see if there was any reports on females.
Not curious enough to stick your hand in the glowing tube, like, with the x-ray machine guy?
Nope. Not that curious. So Pfizer just skipped over this, continued on with their angina research, right? And however, at the same time that this data review was going on in the background, another data analysis revealed that a long duration of erection side effect and little angina efficacy in another group, scientists proved that ED was no longer just a psych issue. Now, these aren't Pfizer researchers. This is just another side group of some other researchers. They were able to prove that it was more than just a psych issue, that it was the blood's inability to flow quickly enough to the penis due to the narrowing of the blood vessels. Now, these drug developers came back to the main people at Pfizer and they said, wait a minute, our angina drug does exactly what the ED definition of what ED is now. It reversed that. We already have the drug here. We're just not using it in this way.
So I have a question. Is having angina symptoms something that is throughout the whole body? Like, someone who has angina more likely to have ED because it's capillary issues and death and narrowing?
I don't know.
Or it's just coincidence that all this was happening?
I don't believe that the patients that were in the angina studies also suffered from ED. Okay. I think the patients in the angina study were complaining that they had 3-4 day erections that were unexpected. Sense. Yeah. So Pfizer was like, well, holy crap, with this new information, we can, you know, go back to the FDA and now we have proof that we can make this into an ED trial. Like, this is the perfect time for Pfizer. They didn't have to develop a drug for the new findings, right? Mm-hmm. It was already there. It just wasn't doing so well in the angina world. So now they convinced the board to switch the research from angina to ED. Angina studies, you know, weren't doing well anyways. The way the medication was designed in theory was that the drug would allow the smooth muscles of the penis to relax, which would prevent any constriction of the blood vessels, allowing the tissues to fill up, and bang, you've got an erection. Mm-hmm. Like, it's gold mine. It's going to work. Pfizer ran a study with 4,000 participants with ED. 64 to 72% completed intercourse while taking the drug versus 23% who completed intercourse that were on placebo. Those are amazing results.
Those are amazing results.
Frickin' amazing results. Pfizer put out their first FDA-approved oral medication for ED, and it's now called Viagra.
And that is everywhere. Like, mm-hmm. you hear it in movies. You see references to it on joke shirts. Like, people yep. talk about it all the time.
It's the first one. It's like Kleenex versus tissue.
Yeah.
Yeah. And this was in 1998. So they started the research in 1980. 18 years later, they've rebranded it and they've got something for ED. Like, the amount of money Pfizer has made off of this is ridiculous. In the billions off of the first couple of years.
Yeah.
Like, this is ground, first of all, it's groundbreaking that the people who suffer from ED need to know that it's not a psych issue. There's nothing wrong with them. It's not a natural part of aging. It's just something that, you know, it just happens, and so sorry that it does, but now there's something out there that you can use to complete your happiness and in your life.
It's nothing different than any other medical condition, having heart pain, getting your vision loss. And it goes to show, too, people who are in clinical studies to properly report anything going on, even if you're like, there's no way, this is going to sound weird, they're not going to take me seriously, they do. And if you have enough reports like that, other people might be experiencing it, too.
I kind of gave this one away quite a bit in the intro, but I think I want to do more podcasts about how research gets started. And because patients report outcomes, we get a whole new, brand new drug.
Mm-hmm.
I love the one about
Rogaine. Yeah, the Rogaine.
The Rogaine one, how that came to be and how that has changed the world for people. There's so many stories, happy accidents that way that I'd like to share more of. So
thank you very much, Anna. That was a really interesting story. And it really goes to show how important proper documentation and reporting is. And how you shouldn't just give up on something because it's not working. There is times where you're like, all right, this isn't worth the billions of dollars. It's not doing its thing.
Yep.
But always look at your AEs and your other reported stuff and what else is going on.
Mm-hmm.
And you could end up with a game-changing medication out there.
Yep, agreed.
Yeah.
All right, till next time.
Till next time.